This podcast is a tribute.
This is not actually the awesome podcast. This is just a tribute.
So, John and Brian here.
What's up, everybody?
Finally back after a very long hiatus of craziness, busy, and John's computer not working very well.
Right.
Now so it's
not
fine.
Quite as long as it should have been. Or it could have been. It should have been shorter.
Yeah.
But there was a mishap with the thing, and we had probably one of our best podcasts.
Like, and good banter. Then it totally just,
and
yeah,
it crashed and lost it. And yeah. We're like, are you kidding us?
Right. But luckily, I didn't actually have to replace anything in the computer. I just had to remove a single stick of RAM.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Fun. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize
so that's no, good. So, anyway. So a lot went on in between then and now, and
I don't even remember.
Oh my god! So like the last one we did was in October. So we're gonna kind of not talk about a lot of that stuff, except that I will say that the New York Comic Con was amazing. Thanks for everybody who came out on Black Friday. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Right, yeah.
Happy Groundhog Day.
Happy Hanukkah.
Just yeah, yeah.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Yeah. Thank you to all those people that came out for the St. Patrick's Day parade last Saturday and froze and got free books. Thanks for everyone who came out to Free Graphic Novel Day and Cranberry's anniversary sale and Ohio's anniversary sale. And I think we're caught up. I think.
And how about
Thanksgiving?
Awesome movies
Happy
and TV
Thanksgiving.
Shows that came out.
Right.
That we're not going to talk
and
about.
And so Star Wars, Doctor Strange.
There had to have been others.
Riverdale, which I would like to talk a little bit about later. I mean, Logan came out last week.
Right.
So
yeah, the modern stuff
right.
We can talk about. But.
There were some things that came out in between. But we'll talk about some of the stuff. We're mostly going to skip over because like it would just be really hard to rehash that whole thing. And
yeah,
it was rough.
Yeah,
but
we wouldn't be able to catch that redo the way it was ugh. Funny because it was like we had like my like not disagreements, but we were like
good,
it was like
good,
a debate like
debate.
About like
yeah
I can't remember what it was about, but it was like oh here's my points like oh I see that
yeah. Oh no, it was about Marvel and their diversity.
And oh, it was.
That's what it
yeah,
was, so.
That's right. Okay.
So anyway, we get some events coming up. Let me get these real quick. So this coming Saturday, the day after actual St. Patrick's Day, which by the way, just wear green and or orange or white and hang out. Just remember which religious sect goes with each one. This Saturday at Elwood, we're gonna have our anniversary sale for them. So we got a bunch of sales on like graphic novels, toys, dollar books, free cake. We're going to have some Boy Scouts there selling candy and meat sticks. Okay. I was like, ooh, meat sticks. It's also either CosCon or SibCon in Butler this weekend. I can never keep the name straight. So go check that out. The following week, we have a PPTQ at the Mills. Mm-hmm. So if you want to play some competitive Magic, come and hang out. Then April Fool's Day is the Mills anniversary sale, which is actually the day the store opened.
Really?
Yeah. It's going to be 6 years old.
So can we like just not do anything?
The only
can
person...
Can we be like, hey, it's our anniversary. Everyone comes in. Hey, April Fool's, get out of here. There's no sales.
The only person that... Like, none of the staff here was here that day at all. Like, Ryan started like a month later. I was still at C3. But Chip, who runs C3... rang the very first transaction here at the store. So he might come out and make a quick
guest
appearance.
Okay.
Free cake.
Right.
Or cupcakes.
Signing
or
autographs that nobody wants.
Something. Right.
I rang out the first register. People were like, who are you? I'm trying to look at my comics. Why are you talking to me?
You might like pet Cashy in the background. Yeah. And then obviously the first weekend of May is Free Comic Book Day. Mm-hmm. And more to come on that. Oh, also the last Saturday of April is Tabletop Day.
Oh, nice.
We're going to do a bunch of gaming sales, 20% off all gaming across the board, all the stores. Mm-hmm. Plus a lot of learn to plays and things like that. It's going to be fun.
Awesome.
Come out and play some board games all freaking day.
Which is just a normal Saturday for us.
Right. Other than that, like this coming week, Modern Masters 3 drops. For you Magic guys, it's going to be nuts. Some of the stores, I know most of the stores are doing $200 pre-sale, mm-hmm. Or through the weekend for a box. But on Monday, it will go back to regular. I don't know. I can't confirm that with all the stores, but I know most of the stores are doing that.
Yeah, just give your local NDC a call.
Yeah, yeah. Worst comes to worst, you pay MSRP, whatever. Or you just call one of the other ones and get it cheaper.
Yeah.
So there you go.
More welcome to call the Mills. Yeah, because here at the Mills, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, release weekend, $200 a box. You walk in, you buy it. If you cannot pick it up on those 3 days, you are able to now through Thursday prepay for it, $200, lock in the price, you pay it in full now.
Plus
just
tax.
Come in, plus yeah. tax, of course. Mm-hmm. And then you just walk in and get your box whenever you can, and we'll hold it for you.
Right.
But once it hits Monday, it goes back up to MSRP.
Yep.
So.
Yep. So make sure you're on that. All right, let's talk comics, I guess, because there's too much old stuff to talk about. Yeah,
yeah, not even a point.
So our books are kind of like a cross between like the last 2 to 5 weeks, I think. I think my oldest book might be 4 weeks old, coming out this week.
Two of mine are last week's. The other one is like a couple weeks ago, I think. So
mine, okay, one is 4 weeks, one is last week, and one is at least 4 weeks because the number two came out, but I want to talk about it in general because it's hilarious.
Okay.
And then the first issue of another one is coming out. So anyway, my first book is IT, The Secret World of Modern Banking by Black Box Comics. This is written and all the art is done by Scott McDaniel, who is local.
Mm-hmm.
There's not many left copies-wise in any of the stores.
Okay.
Like, wow. Almost all of our stores sold out.
Nice.
So if you haven't gotten it, go get it. If you liked... if you like Scott's art, which, you know, he did Daredevil, he did Nightwing, he did all kinds of stuff, Batman, he's done tons and tons of work. It is Scott's art in its glory.
Now, the obvious prep question, since it's coming up in a couple months, will he be at Three Rivers?
There he will be at Three Rivers.
Comic-Con.
Yes, Three Rivers Comic-Con with Black Box Comics. So he'll be actually at the Black Box booth.
Okay.
Not in Artist Alley. Mm-hmm. But Scott's a great guy. This book is awesome. I've been waiting for this book to come out since like September.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's really cool. And it really is like the secret world of banking. It's all about the tech stuff. Cause like it starts out with like some hackers and then, like the IT guy at a big bank, like has to reset a system and, like the whole bank goes nuts and he has to like go in and redo each one, but all of these background things are going on at once. So like mm-hmm. the background plot is kind of like, there's some kind of crazy hacking going on in there
mm-hmm.
while the bank has no idea how IT works at all. Like the bank, like the higher ups,
mm-hmm.
But there's some cool like espionage like scenes and characters and art, like I said, is just freaking amazing. But there's like mobsters and like the mob has ties to the bank and the IT guy like sees something and then they beat the crap out of him. So it's very, very cool. Issue 2 comes out in a couple weeks, and I'm super excited for it. I will do anything to support Scott McDaniel because I love his art, his style, his writing, his personality. Like, he's a good dude, just right. in general. But definitely check it out. It's called IT. If the stores are out of it, if you go into one of our stores and they're out of it, ask them to order it. We can do it, or try calling one of our other stores, and we'll try to get it to you. Like I said, we don't have many left, but it's a super good book, and mm-hmm. definitely try to pick it up.
Cool. All right, so my first book of the podcast here is Darkwing Duck number 8.
Boom.
Yeah, it really is. It's just kept up all the Darkwing comics all of them really in the past period, but since the relaunch as well, it really just feels like more of the show, which is a good thing.
I finally read that.
The San Diego
Comic-Con. The San Diego Comic-Con issue. It's hilarious.
So good. So many great like rips.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like actually the second part of a two-parter where and it's cool because it references stuff that's happened in prior trades and prior story mm-hmm. arcs. So St. Canard is getting overrun by zombie potatoes. and the potatoes like latch on like face hugger wise onto people's faces and turn them into zombies.
Interesting.
And
Attack of the Killer Potatoes.
Yeah, basically. And it's so like Darkwing thinks it's Bushroot.
Right. And right. So that makes sense.
Yeah, because Bushroot like it just escaped from the prison. And so when he catches them, it's actually not Bushroot. It's the giant potato vampire that he created in the cartoon that he was that was supposed to be his like girlfriend.
Right.
They thought she was dead, and this company like unearthed her and started to use her for like GMO products.
Oh,
and so they're all genetically modified potatoes.
Right.
But they're zombies and they're like rising up. So it's like, and so Bushroot and Darkwing and Gosling and Launchpad are all like held hostage and they're trying to like fight back together almost. Meanwhile, like Gizmo Duck shows up, you know, and there's always that rivalry between Gizmo Duck and Darkwing.
Right.
And he's got this all brand new, like sleeker armor. And they actually call it like, because they mention how they reference how Gosling had the armor for a while and it was like smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And so like they're trying to say like, because he's working with Shush and the one agent's like, we're trying to locate this Gizmo girl, I guess. Like we don't know much about her. Is she your sidekick? And he's like, oh, what a cute little like Gizmo buddy. No, I don't know her, but that looks like my Quack 1 armor. It's not as advanced as this Quack 2 armor.
Hilarious.
Right. And one of the best parts too is like whenever they're like, the Shush is trying to track down what's going on to find where they don't know where Darkwing is, you know, because mm-hmm. they sent him on the mission first. And they, you know, they do something where they're trying to, like, they realize it's a hive mind for the potatoes mm-hmm. and they're able to track the mind signal back to the source. So they're like, I'm sending you the coordinates, Gizmo Duck, like, get there. And so it's really just a funny little thing because he's like, you know, the new armor actually talks to him. It's like a, got a computer. Like
oh, it's kind of like an AI.
Yeah, it's like a Jarvis. It like talks to him a little bit, not a ton.
Right.
But it's like coordinates received. And he goes, let's get catchphrase taken. To infinity, catchphrase taken. Well, dork buttons. Catchphrase available. He just sighs. And he's rocketing off to like, you know, to go rescue them. But it, again, it's just a really great comic. So fun. If you love the show, the comic, you're going to love it.
That's
lots
hilarious.
Of good banter, some like sweet moments. You know, there's like, you know, like there's actually a part where like, you know, towards the end where Darkwing kind of like feels sorry for Bushroot, but like realizes that he's not, besides the fact that he's not to blame for this, it's like he's, because he still kind of wants the vampire potato to be his girlfriend
right,
because it's like
right.
he's got no one else
right
and they have to get rid of her because she's doing all this and like there's no way to stop her, she's just like crazy right. rampant and like he's trying to get through to him and he's like he starts to call him Bushroot and he's just and he stops like halfway, he's like, Reggie, you have to let her go, like, you know. And they're even like later on it's like, well, that's the first time you ever actually called me Reginald, you know, Reggie.
Mm.
And he's like, well, it just seemed like it made sense, you know. Right. And like they it's like, I'm still going back to jail, aren't I? Oh yeah. <You know? laughs> But there was like a nice little bonding, like you could almost see that if they wanted to take it that way, they could set it up as like a redemption mm-hmm. arc for Bushroot, like sort of like Clayface in Batman, like if they're trying to like,
oh, detective, yeah.
Or detective, and like not make him part of the team, but like maybe good behavior gets out and starts to help Darkwing more, like if they
right.
wanted to take
right.
it in that direction, which I think would be fun.
I agree. All right, my next book is from Boom and DC Comics together, and partially written by Justin Jordan, also partially written by Robbie Thompson, written by Robbie Thompson. The story was done by, sorry, let me start over. Stories by Robbie Thompson, Justin Jordan wrote it.
Okay.
Barnaby Bagenda? I don't know. I'm sorry about that. Is the artist. It is Planet of the Apes, Green Lantern 1, which issue 2 just came out and I read it last night, and it gets even crazier than this. So this starts out where Sinestro does this crazy old ritual and he kills one of each Lantern Corps member and it sends this ring to the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And Nova finds it. And Cornelius is like, Nova, what is going on? Where's Taylor? Blah, blah, blah. So it takes place right at the end of the first movie,
okay.
before the second movie. Of the classics, not
right.
the reboots.
Right. So wait, just a quick question. Like my limited knowledge of Lantern Corps. Does that mean there is no more? There's no current Orange Lantern because there was only one, right?
Or blue, as far as we know, there was only Saint Walker. He was the only one left.
I didn't realize there was
and only the Lyreflees. I don't know. They sort of hint at that in the second issue, mm-hmm. but I haven't. They haven't fully gone into that. This is all just kind of a cool mm-hmm. side thing.
So now, and one more question. I'm sorry. Sure. Is it a yellow ring that goes back into or to the planet? It or is. A green one or what?
So it is called the Universal Ring.
Oh.
It is a whole new ball game.
Okay.
So, like, there's this giant crater in this tiny little ring, and Cornelius, like, picks it up and takes it back to examine it. So he takes it back, and, you know, he gets mad at, like, the Ape City guys, so it starts glowing red and whatever. Mm. Meanwhile, like, the Green Lantern Corps are fighting the Red Lanterns, and there's this awesome, like, Dexter, like, panel, a lot of cool stuff happens, and Sinestro is trying to figure out where this ring went. So Cornelius eventually puts the ring on, mm-hmm. and he just freaks out. And you find out that that at some point, like the ritual that he did, summoned the ring was created by an old guardian, and it can harness any of the cores individually at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So... it starts to get really, really, really weird. So, in a good way, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, he eventually, like, Cornelius, like, eventually, like, finds the cult that's in the second movie, the ones that, like, worship the bomb.
Okay.
You yeah. know? Mm-hmm. And in the second book, he, like, rips the bomb apart, and he's like, this is just a weapon of destruction, and blah, 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 and you guys are idiots, and da, da, da. And, like, Sinestro and Hal end up in that world looking for it. And then the Green Lanterns in book two are trying to figure out how to get to that world and what went on.
Mm-hmm.
So Guy Gardner goes to the Guardians, is like, what's going on? And they give him the backstory of like how the ring was created. And then they're like, well, if we're going to go to this planet of talking apes, I need to stop and get somebody that can talk their language. And I'm like, no way. Yep, they totally go to the prison and pick up Gorilla Grodd.
No,
and that's
really?
Where it, that's the last panel. And I'm just like, yeah.
Oh, like that's like he's not going to try and turn them against everybody. It's like, hey, my fellow apes or simians.
Well, he's like way he's super intelligent, but he doesn't actually speak in sometimes. Usually it's like just thought projection, but depending on the writer of the book. So I'm curious to see where they take it, but it is hilarious. It is a lot of fun. If you like it, if you like either of those series, you're going to love this book. It's just a lot of fun. If you read the Green Lantern Star Trek first volume or second volume, like mm-hmm. it's similar tongue-in-cheek vein. Like they make fun of itself. And
okay.
Cool. Like when Hal wakes up, he says something like "damn you" or something like.
Of course, that totally makes sense.
Oh yeah, and like it's just really funny. Let me see if I can find that panel real quick. Oh yeah, he like swims out of the ocean. And he's like, damn it all to hell!" And he's like looking at the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
And I'm just like, wow! Like this is probably the funniest, like the most enjoyed book I've had in a long time of just like sheer ridiculousness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of fun. Cool. Check it out.
Yeah. All right. So my second book is Scooby Apocalypse number 11.
Woot.
Yep. As you, you know,
imagine
do
that.
Follow these. Yeah. You know, I enjoy this book a lot.
No.
So this is a pretty good issue. It's comes off of, I believe the one prior to this was a little weak, honestly, because the whole point is that, as we've learned throughout, that Velma is part of this and like
right.
part of the reason why it'll happen. And it turns out, like, she kept talking about the big four scientists. Well, it was five. It was her and her four brothers
mm-hmm.
that created all this. And the nanobot thing was her idea. And she thought, you know, she presented it to them. And, you know, they could, you know, we could do all these changes with it. And we could make the world better. So they took it and then they tweaked it. And the whole point was they're going to make it turn humanity docile, basically, and
right.
follow orders. But something or someone changed it so that it turned everybody into monsters. So after dealing with that all this time and her trying to, you know, being blamed constantly by Daphne,
right.
didn't even know the full truth.
Right.
She leaves. She just ran. She's like, she left her laptop with a confession note and was like, look, I really was a part of all this. I didn't mean it. I'm just going. I can't,
right.
you know, I can't be around you guys anymore. It's, you know, you know, my fault. So she leaves. The prior issue was it was really weak because it was basically just a giant dream sequence where it was like a self-punishment one, like, because she's sick, so she was having a fever dream. And you figure it out really early. Like, well, you know it's not real.
Right.
But it's like, in that book, she almost has like a Red Sonja kind of warrior bikini almost. That's not a bikini, but it's like, yeah. And she's like queen of these monsters.
That's awesome.
Like, they all listen to her now. And she's trying to kill off humanity.
Right.
And she wants the remaining four, you know, to watch it happen, and then she's going to kill them. Like,
right.
She wants, you know, Shaggy, Fred, she's going to kill them all. And then, like, you know, they're trying, like, Shaggy is trying to reason with her and all this stuff, and, you know, and she kills Daphne and then goes to kill the rest of them and wakes up like, oh, my God, you know.
Right.
What have I done? And it was,
what have I done?
Yeah, it was pretty cliche.
Yeah.
This one jumps back into the real story, thankfully. It may have been like they needed a break or maybe something like that, where they're actually looking for her. Like, they're trying to actively find her to get her back because, you know, they're worried about her. Like,
right.
They know, they read it, they know what she's done, but the rest of them pretty much forgive her. And even Daphne is showing, and like, Fred's like almost teasing her because, like, so look at that, you do care about her.
Right.
And, you know, she's like, shut up, she caused all this, but, you know, I don't, you know, whatever. Like, she's kind of starting to admit that, yeah, I consider her a friend now too, and I can't let her just get mauled to death out there.
Right.
And there's some good banter in the beginning a little bit because it's like, he's Shaggy and Scooby are out like trying to get the trail, and he's like having Scooby like sniff around for her. And he's trying to, and Scooby's trying to be like, Raggy, you know, I can, Scoob, we just need to focus, just, but he's like, no, just focus and do this. I'm like, okay, you know,
right.
And then it's like some, you know, some of that back and forth between Fred and Daphne as they're, he's giving like the van a tune up. He had his leg broken, so he can't be help out there. So then it's like, it cuts back to like Shaggy and Scooby. And then they're like, you know, we'll find her. You know, like our Scooby, like if Shaggy's, who's the optimist, is starting to get a little like, oh, this isn't going to work. And Scooby's like, no, we'll find her. And he's like, well, how do you can be so sure? Rasses. He's like, excuse me? Realm is Rasses. Her, what the heck are you? Oh, you mean her glasses. The GPS in her headset is keyed to, you know, or your headset is keyed to her glasses. And you can use that to locate her. Yeah. And then he starts yelling at us, like, then why did you do that in the first place? Are you Stu? Oh, you tried to tell me that, didn't you? He's like, yep. He's like, I just kept telling you to sniff, huh?
Raha. Right, right.
And you're the loyal pup who always does what I tell you. Uh-huh. It's like, I'm an idiot.
Uh-huh. You know? Yep.
And there's even like a second one where like, a little later, it's back to the other two, and the phone rings. And you're like, what the hell is this? You know, and it's Shaggy. He found, like, a cell phone that was still working.
Right.
And he called where he knew they were, like, this gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, like, you see Fred's side of it. And he's like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty stupid of you. You know, so
awesome.
And they like, then it cuts to Velma, and she's in a Mystery Machine like vehicle. Like, it looks like real one.
The actual, oh yeah, it does.
Like, you know, it looks like the classic, just the Volkswagen. And she's getting chased by like Rat Fink, basically. these monsters that have these ridiculously jacked up like hot rods. How the hell they made them, I don't know. And she's just kind of like, yeah, I'm gonna die. You know, she's trying to get away from him, and she crashes, and she's like, I'm dead. And, like, I deserve this, whatever. And then like, it's about to eat her, and then like its head gets blown
apart.
And it's like, you know, Daphne's up on the hill, like looking all badass with the rifle.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Like, even her face is in shadow, you know, and Shaggy's like sliding down the hill. And he's like, get over here, run, you know.
That's a very 90s image look right there.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they're like, she's like, what are you doing here? Why did you come after me? And like, because we care about you. And even Daphne hugs her. And then starts shaking her, and she's like, well, you know. And then it's like, you know, it's okay for you to hug me back. And she's like, you know, physical intimacy has never been my forte, but I'll give it my best shot, you know. And then they get back into the real Mystery Machine, the battle wagon, and go off. And they're like, well, what do you think we should do now? It's like, what do you think? We need to save the world.
Right.
And then there's like a little mini after where it's actually following one of her brothers, the one that was the business tycoon, and, you know, showing how cutthroat he is and stuff, and what doing, dealing with, and all this. So still chugging along. There's been like two issues that out of the 11 really that stand out as being like weak and kind of bogged, like, okay, this is getting a little repetitious, or this is just lame.
Right.
Rest of them are just still a solid comic.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. So, all right, my third book is Batwoman Rebirth number one, by Marguerite Bennett and James Tynan, or Tynan. I can never say it right. anyway, so this is kind of like a recap of what actually, like all the Rebirth 1 issues, it kind of recaps what in the old 52 and the new 52 happened to make the new storyline. So like, okay, it tells you kind of like what did happen, what didn't happen, type of thing. So you kind of know the character a little better than like, you know, if you want to go back and read some stuff that actually did happen. So basically everything that happened in Elegy happened, which was the detective series run that she was in before the New 52. That was amazing. Like where her mom and her sister looked like they got kidnapped, but her mom only died and her sister didn't. And she turned into Alice and it was crazy. The going to West Point and coming out and getting kicked out of West Point happened. Mm-hmm. The figuring out that she's going to end up being Batwoman because of some craziness happened. The whole dating Renee Montoya happened.
Interesting.
Right?
So this is the Batwoman that was going to like have the marriage arc or whatever that they canceled.
Oh, right. So that's the one thing in here that they really don't talk about, except the vampire part. They don't talk. Well, so she did train. She did become Batwoman. She did fight the werewolves and monsters that were in the first. They were in Elegy. She did team up with Wonder Woman for a little bit. She did watch her sister fall off a bridge. She did date Maggie. She did put together the team that is detective right now. And then they do this future shot thing where you see her leading all of the Bat Squad guys that were in Detective, like the first arc of Detective that her dad was commanding. She's running that, but she's like way older, and she looks like way badass and kind of Tron looking outfit. So I'm kind of curious to see how this goes and where it's going to go. But regular issue one comes out this week. So check it out. The art's amazing. It's all Epting. I can't say how much I love Batwoman as a character because she's like one of the most solid characters in the whole DCU.
Nice.
And they didn't really change anything except for the fact that she didn't almost get married and then she didn't turn into a vampire, I guess. That's about it.
Right.
Yeah. So
interesting that they equate those things, but sure.
Right. It's a good. It's a really good book, though. So definitely check it out if you have time.
All right. And my last book, the older one, the first two were out last week, Scooby Apocalypse and Darkwing, was Champions number 6. I'm still not, I don't know about Champions. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I just want to like it, so I'm continuing to stick with it type of thing. Because I love Ms. Marvel. I love Miles Morales, Spider-Man. Nova and Cyclops and Viv all seem really awesome. I can't stand Totally Awesome Hulk, but whatever. It's just that...
It's because he's Amadeus Cho.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
But he's the smartest man in the Marvel U.
It's just getting to this point where it's like, I totally understand what they're doing, and it makes sense because the title, you know, the Champions is supposed to be not geared for little kids, but it's supposed to, you know, it's a teen book. It's like teen heroes. It's supposed to be skewed to a certain demographic, and, you know, the idea is that, you know, because with the hashtag of Champions, like in the real world, our world, you know, the idea is that let's get everyone involved. Let's be, you know, political and proactive and, like, you know, try to make a difference in the real world while watching them do that in, you know, the Marvel world. But it just seems like they tend to get a little heavy-handed with it in these last few issues. The beginning of it is good. It's just like they're literally just playing paintball in order to try and grow as a team.
We're just playing paintball, Mom.
Yeah, they break off into two teams to try and work better together. and use their, you know, skills and like and get to just know how to work with each other. So that's fine. There's like talking and banter during that. Then it's like the bad guy team that was introduced during the oil line storyline, which is like, again, it's like taken from reality and all that. It's like, I get it. It is important to talk about, but at the same time, it just feels like, okay, like, can we, I don't know. Like, to me, and being older, it's like, I don't really need to see them ripping straight from the headlines and
right.
being super, you know, I don't know. But the freelancers, which is what the team's called, are the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the second half of the book is just the freelancers at their compound, you know, bragging and talking about the how they, you know, are rich now and, you know, whatever. And then this, like, just trying to, like, look how evil we are. Look what we're doing. And they get, like, two homeless guys, like, offer them food. Like, oh, look, here's a buffet. It's for you guys. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to help. And then they place bets on, like, the two girls that, like, I think they pick, like, okay, it's going to be so-and-so and so-and-so. And they start placing bets. And it's, like, basically the one, the, I think it's supposed to be the slightly chubbier one, can just, I think her name, like, just panic. Like, her, she can right. make you see your biggest fear, mm-hmm. make you think it's real, and just push you over the edge. And then the other one is, like, all about charm. Like, she's the seductress, even though she's, like, looks younger, but she's just, and it's not, like, seductive.
Are they just trying to figure out who's going to,
make the other one, they each take a homeless guy, and it's, like, you have to make them punch their friend. And that's all it is. So, like, the seductress one, or just the charming one,
mm-hmm.
just plays it up. It's like whatever her power is, it just makes you like her as a friend. Like, oh, you're cool. I like you. You know, and she's just like, hey, you know, your buddy's been looking at me funny. It's like making me uncomfortable. You know, and then Panic is just like, you know, I can't remember what she does, but she like fills his head with like, you know, your friend, like, you're scared of everything, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, they get together, like, they make the two homeless guys like fight or just punch each other just once.
Right.
And then it's like the guys freak out and it's like, you know, screw you. You were not your puppets. What the hell? And it's just.
Right.
Really, it's really just there to be like, wow, look, we're so evil. You know, it's like we got it from
we're
the first
such douchebags.
I don't know. It seems, again, heavy-handed and
right.
over the top. And then the very end is it's like whichever one, I think Panic or whatever, like puts it in their heads. Like they let them go and they're going to go straight to the cops. Mm. But she puts it in the heads so that they're like, oh, who did this to you? The champions. You know, like they think it's them.
Because that's their biggest fear. Okay. Right.
Well, no, just that. Like I think she twists it or something so that they saw the champions instead of the freelancers because that's part of like the freelancers have to get the champions out of the way because the champions as a global like phenomenon are gaining ground. The very first number couple pages is all about number six is all about like everyone's hashtagging champions and they're like, oh, I'm working like it's just normal people with the symbol, the little champions see like working at Habitat for Humanity and like being part of it. And so they have to stop that.
Written by one Mr. Mark Wade, who will also be at our Three Rivers Comic Con show.
Awesome.
So if you like Mark Wade or want to talk to
Mark
Wade. I can
ask him why it's so heavy-handed.
Yeah, you can really totally do that. It'd
like
be great.
A brilliant idea.
Yeah, exactly, Brian. Make him mad. It'll
yeah.
be great.
I'm never coming back to your convention again. Oops,
no.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, wait. You work for me, Brian. Oh.
No, him.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
No, like, I'm pretty sure we're going to give him enough beer that he'll come back every year. At least that's the hope.
Okay.
All right. So some new stuff coming out tomorrow at your local New Dimension Comics. All new Soulfire number one again. All-Star Batman 8. Angel season 11 number 3, Aquaman 19, Archie 19, Batman 19, Batwoman 1, Batman World of Wakanda, Black Panther World of Wakanda 5. Let's see. Cody and the Creepies number 1, which we've had a lot of requests for from people, so that's kind of cool. Daredevil 18, Darkness Visible 2, DC Bombshell 24, Deadpool the Duck 5, Divinity 3 Escape from Gulak, number Gulak 396, number 1. And that's supposed to be Archer and Armstrong in the Divinity 3 universe, which is kind of cool. If you haven't read it, it's kind of cool. Let's see. Wow, there's 3 covers to that book? That's awesome. G.I. Joe 3, Great Lakes Avengers 6, which I'm totally going to get. because that's awesome. Green Arrow 19, Green Lantern, Green Lanterns 19, Guardians 18, Harley Quinn 16, He-Man, Thundercats 16.
Ooh, can't wait for that.
I know that book's been pretty good.
It's like, really good, yeah.
I still don't like the art though.
I don't mind.
I don't like the humans. I like everything else. The humans look weird.
Yeah.
Justice League 17, Kong Skull Island 9, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 13, Mighty Thor 17, Monsters Unleashed 5, Miss Marvel 16, Nightwing 17. Let's see. Oh, some pop vinyls. Red Sonja 3. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? 79. Revolutionaries 3. Spawn 271. Spider-Man 14, which apparently is going to be a Spider-Gwen crossover or team-up issue.
Yeah, they seem to be like dating or something.
It's like the marriage cover. It's like an homage on the cover. Oh, it's like really? The wedding cover.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Poe Dameron 12, Star Trek Deviations 1, Star-Lord 4, Super Sons 2, which has been pretty good, Superman 19, which has also been really good, Amazing Spider-Man 25, Forever War 2, Punisher 10, Totally Awesome Hulk 17, Wild Storm 2, that storm, it's wild, Titans 9, Trinity 7, U.S. Avengers 4, Uncanny Avengers 21, Uncanny X-Men 19, Vampirella 1 with a sweet Joe Linsner cover, Venom 5, Wonder Woman 77 meets Bionic Woman 3, X-Men Blue Weapon X postcard, so you can check out your sweet postcard of the new Weapon X, or the new X-Men Blue, which will be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. All of those you can always find at ndcomics.com/new releases. So we have a couple cool things to talk about.
We do?
We do.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so the first cool thing we're going to talk about is obviously Three Rivers Comic Con. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you go to the website, you check it out. Everyone that goes to the show gets the free graphic novel. Mm-hmm. Everyone gets a free Betty and Veronica number one that is a collaboration between New Dimension Comics, Three Rivers Comic Con, and Kennywood.
Oh, okay.
And it has the Archie gang on the front,
right,
at Kennywood.
Oh, that's
cool. And it's awesome. I'll show you it later. So everyone that comes or gets it, the artist is Bob Hack, who's going to be there. You can have him sign it.
Awesome.
You have to go to the NDC booth though to get it. Mm-hmm. And then you can go and visit him in Artist Alley. Mm-hmm. He's going to love it. He's an amazing artist. He did it in like 3 days or some craziness. Like, wow. It was super tight. And we're just like, hey man, you think you'd be down for this? He's like, yeah, this would be cool. And then he just did it. We're like, this is so cool. We're all excited about it. Todd and I were like little kids. So make sure you do that. Get your tickets, come in the store. It's cheaper when you buy it in the store. It will go up at the day of the show. So if you're waiting for the day of the show, you're going to pay more at the door. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you that now. And it's super easy to just buy it in the store or online and have it sent to you via text message or email. If you get text message, it will send it to you again the day before the show.
Oh, okay.
So you won't lose it. Mm-hmm. If you email it, just print it out, save it, leave it unread forever. Mm-hmm. I don't really care. Just make sure you don't lose it. If you do lose it, email me and I will go in and resend you the email link to your ticket. I can do that. I'm awesome. No one else in the store can do that. They will just forward it to me. So, but if you do have an issue, let me know. I will take care of you. I got you, bro. So yeah, we have a ton of great guests, like Mark Waid's coming, Peter Krause, Bob Hack, Scott McDaniel, Ron Frenz, Pat Oliff, Howard Bender, Sean Gabarin.
He's rattling these off from his memory, by the way. He's not reading anything,
right?
Which is impressive.
there's so many more. Like we just have tons of guys. Vito DeSante is a good friend of ours, and if you don't follow him on Facebook, make sure you do, because he's backing his new Kickstarter for Golden Guard, mm-hmm. and this book is like a JSA style book with a modern twist, and I really like it. Mm-hmm. Like when I went up to New York Comic Con, like we talked about it the whole time, and I was just like, I'm in. I'm mm-hmm. just let me know when the Kickstarter starts. And I backed it for like $35.
Sweet.
So I got like all kinds of free cool stuff.
right.
But it's a really good book. I think the minimum back is like $10. But definitely go do it. The art's amazing. Carlos is a great artist. He is not going to come to the show though. But we're also going to have gaming events at the show. We're working on that right now. We are working on the panels, trying to finish those up. We will have beer again at the beer party. And again, you have to be 21 or older to receive your bottle. I can tell you that it is with Helltown again. Mm-hmm. And the teaser for the art for the label is on the website now. Mm-hmm. If you go to threeofus.com or threeofuscomiccon.com and check out the beer party event, there is a teaser for the art that's there. If you want to see that Bob Hack variant, by the way, you can totally check it out at ndcomics.com. It's in the scroll thing.
Oh, okay.
We'll also have a link to Kenny Wood on there because we are also doing a Comic-Con at Kenny Wood.
Really?
Did I not tell you this?
I don't believe.
Oh, then well then, Brian, check it out. We're doing a Comic-Con at Kennywood on Father's Day.
Oh, okay.
But it's gonna be cool. It's like 10 to 6. If you're an artist or a vendor that want to do it, let us know. We'll hook you up.
The artists all have to do their sketches while riding rides.
No.
Oh god. Like just every, it's just all blurry. Every single character.
This was supposed to be a pretty flower. It looks like scratches. But like we're taking over an entire pavilion to turn it into an artist alley. All the vendors are going to be around the lagoon. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great day to come out and hang out. If you wear a superhero shirt, you get a discounted ticket price of, I think, $25 for the whole day.
Wow. Okay.
The park's open from like 10 to 10.
Right.
So you can ride like all day for $25. That's crazy.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
And everybody that goes to that will also get the variant. So if you don't end up going to Three Rivers and you still want the variant and you want to take your dad out mm-hmm. Or you are a dad and you want your family to do something cool for you, mm-hmm. here it is.
There you go.
It's going to be awesome. Definitely check it out. It's the first time we've ever done anything like this. It's the first time Kennywood's ever done anything like with the nerd culture.
Yeah.
Serious nerd culture. Mm-hmm. We're pretty excited about it. I just think it's going to be funny watching like 501st guys going down the logjammer in their uniforms, like just watching that, like
right.
You know, Vader freaking out.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, it's water.
Yeah, don't let it get on my costume. It's gone forever.
Actually, what I really want to see is him on the sky coaster, and just flopping around with his cape, yeah. Like swinging lightsabers.
Sure won't be allowed to go on any rides in costume. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. It'll be funny.
Yeah, it would be.
But that's. What we're doing, like we're doing some cool stuff. It's gonna be great. But make sure you guys come out to Three Rivers.
It was a really great time last year. I mean, you know, obviously it's like, oh, well, what else are you guys gonna say? But you know, I was there raising money for Extra Life with the charity auction, and then working with the 501st, and it was just, you know, and I would get out a couple times each of the 2 days to run around and like, you know, look at everybody and like meet some of the you know. Artists and writers and stuff, and it was just everyone I talked to, writers and artists especially, they loved it because it was like finally a show that was focused back on the artists and the comics and
right.
the actual medium. And so they were getting like, so people showing up, they actually knew these people, they wanted the autographs, they wanted the sketches, they got to yep. talk to their favorite writers and about story arcs and artists about pictures, and everyone, both sides, really enjoyed that connection. And it was a good layout. It was fun. It wasn't like, you know, obviously we wanted to keep growing with the bigger crowds, but you know, right. this is still the second year. So, you know, it's like you can walk around with some elbow room, you don't have to worry. And it's like the perfect time to get in ground floor on something that, you know,
it's going to be huge at some point. Yeah. Eventually.
It's gonna be
at least good. We hope.
Yeah.
But yeah, actually this year, like for those of you who went last year, there were like those weird jutouts in the room that kind of shrunk it in the middle. We're actually ripping those down, so there's gonna be more room. And later this week we're gonna open up Artist Alley for probably another, oh man, like 30 more spaces.
Wow. Okay.
Which will take up a little more spaces than what we have on the waiting list. So should be good. That'll probably be announced probably Thursday. Wednesday or Thursday, we'll probably be doing that. So watch our social medias. We're also moving our Butler store to downtown Butler.
Oh, right. That's a big thing. Yeah.
I forgot about that almost. I was like, what else am I doing? Is there something before the con? Oh, moving Butler. we were going to be moving to Main Street in Butler, right downtown Butler, right across from Butler Brew Works, which is awesome. And if you haven't gone there, you should, because it's awesome. But we're going to be moving there. We'll be opening there May 1st.
Okay.
So our last day in the mall up at Clearview will be April 31st, 30th, 31st, whatever the last day of April is. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which dates it goes. So other than that, Riverdale has come out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you seen it at all?
No. Nah,
Oh man.
I'm on board with the new Archie comics. Like, I'm waiting for another Betty versus Veronica. There's only two out.
Mm.
And I like reading the Archies because it's updated. The characters are now like tolerable and fun, you know? And like,
they're
okay,
not just campy and cheesy.
Yeah. Ridiculously like 60s throwbacks.
Right.
But I just can't. No, Riverdale. That doesn't even look like anything. Like,
your mom and pop's Archie books.
Right.
Which is why it's not called Archie.
Right.
Yeah. But I kind of dig it, man. Like, Betty is totally like the girl next door. Veronica is very much so like the posh, like almost like upscaley bitchy girl, but not really. But Cheryl is a total raging bitch. And I'm kind of glad they killed her brother so they don't have to do the weird incesty thing.
Yeah, I hope
that came out, and like that's always been hinted at in the books. It's been really weird. Oh yeah, it's always very weird. Like the relationship they had in the books has always been joked about as as like weird incesty. Yeah, it's really bizarre. But it's kind of cool. Like, the Josie and the Pussycats in there are great. Mm-hmm. Luke Perry as Archie's dad.
Oh, really?
Is Fred Andrews? Yeah, it's great. And I was talking to the guys from Archie at Comics Pro, and they were saying like Archie himself, the guy who plays it, like plays Archie, can play like Eddie Van Halen. Like, he can play wicked awesome guitar.
Really?
Jughead is super ripped, and I didn't believe him until this last episode. And they show him like he takes a shower, and like Archie walks in while he's like brushing his teeth in the locker room, mm-hmm. and he's just like totally ripped. And I'm like, hamburger diet for me, bro.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
But they said that Luke Perry kind of just like took everybody under his wing and kind of like taught him the ropes of being like a young star and mm-hmm. stuff. And they said he's like the most super chill dude ever.
That's cool.
But the show's been great. Like, it's every week I'm like, what am I going to watch now? Like, it's like just really twisty, mm-hmm. like not like morbid dark, but like just awkwardly turning the screw just enough to where you're just like, Oh, I don't know if I'm comfortable, but I want to watch more.
Okay. Interesting.
But it's a great show. Check it out if you haven't. Logan came out last week. Did mm-hmm. you see Logan yet?
I have not.
Okay. So I will do this with as little spoiler as possible, I guess.
yeah, you're probably like,
I've seen it twice now.
It's been spoiled for me. Like, okay. And I don't mind, cause I just can't get into it. I have no desire to see it.
Okay. So first time I went to see it, I went to see it with a couple guys from the Mills.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it. I really liked it. But I had some issues with a couple things. And then I saw it again on Sunday this last week. And the same things bothered me. And I didn't like it as much as I liked it the first time.
Mm.
So, like, but the things that bothered me are, like, really dumb. Like,
like nitpicky nerd stuff, or
sorta. Okay. Like, so, like, I guess I can't really do this without spoiling. So the biggest thing I had an issue with mm-hmm. is when X-23 says daddy.
Okay.
That's the biggest thing I had a problem with. I was like, she would never, ever, ever do that. Right. Ever.
Yes.
Ever.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know if I can. What?
Yeah.
And I thought it was cool that they basically took all the things that everybody hated about Origins
mm-hmm.
and made them cooler in this movie.
Okay.
Like, they made another clone, but this clone was of Wolverine.
Right.
And they had a lot of fight scenes, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a great send-off for both Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman. Mm-hmm. I thought X-23 was done very well, except for the daddy part. Mm-hmm. And the only other thing I didn't really like, because I thought it was a really well-done movie, and it's probably like top three X-Men movies for me, but I thought the pacing was weird.
Okay.
Like, I thought it felt really slow, and then it was like awesome action, really slow, right. awesome action. Like, each act took a long time.
I've heard that commentary. Like, not that it was, like, bad per se, but that, you know, there were times when it felt bogged down. Like,
yeah.
like, how long is this? And then there'd be a good stretch where it was exciting and interesting and the dialogue yeah. was good. But then it would be like, okay, what, how long? What are we at now? Hour two?
Right. Know? Yeah, that's pretty much it to a T. It was very kind of awkwardly drug out, but there were cool homages to actual Old Man Logan storyline.
Okay.
Like, there's a scene where, like, a bunch of rednecks show up and they're like, okay. what you doing on my land type right. of thing. And yeah, it's like sure. an homage to the Hulk gang.
Yeah.
You know, there's the take me to this place for money thing. Mm-hmm. And an event happens at Westchester School, but you right. don't, they never show what actually happened. They just kind of talk about it. Like, they keep it really vague, so they never had to do a mm-hmm. a scene of it.
Yeah.
But they kind of twist that from what the original was in the book. So, like, it nodded enough to the book that I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm.
But because there was no way they could do actual man. Like, they would need so many properties.
Right.
But all in all, like, I definitely thought it was, like, very, very, very well done. But my other big thing is I thought it was too little too late.
Hmm.
Like, that was the Wolverine I wanted 9 movies ago.
Oh, right, exactly. You know? Yeah.
Like, in Origins, where he's crying when Silver Fox dies and then doesn't go feral and kill everybody. Like, no berserker rage. I'm like, where?
Right.
Where's my Wolverine? Yeah. You know? And then the Wolverine, a little better.
Right.
A little better. Getting there.
Yeah.
But this movie had, like, blood and gore and violence and swearing and boobs. Don't take your kids to this movie.
Right. One of my friends, Chris, has made a good observation in terms of, like, the Marvel movies in general, which, of course, this is Fox, not MCU. But even so,
mm-hmm.
you know, just in general, why Marvel-based movies seem to do better than the DC is that Marvel doesn't make superhero movies. They make other genres that have superheroes. Mm-hmm. Like, he was saying how Logan is totally just a road movie.
Yeah.
It's a road trip. Just one of the guys or two of the guys happens to be superheroes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and, like, what we've always, from the beginning, we've been like, Ant-Man is a heist movie
yep.
that has a superhero. You know,
yep.
Winter Soldier was an espionage movie that had superheroes.
Right.
Whereas
DC, and the first one was a World War II movie that happened to have yeah. superheroes.
And, like, DC tries to make superhero movies,
right?
And it just doesn't work as well because they're like trying to rely solely on that,
right?
And so,
right.
and again, but it ties back around to the Logan. Now, I'm not sure how Deadpool might just be like really taken,
Deadpool
like just
was,
a crazy like violent.
Deadpool was like a Fight Club that happened to have.
Yeah,
it was like Fight Club with superheroes. Is right. really what that was.
Yeah.
Or yeah, I agree.
This is Taken almost because, like, you know.
Oh yeah, like, yeah. I guess to get that. Yeah,
his girl back, but yeah.
Like it was actually like a very twisted love story. It was almost like was it From Hell? Not From Hell. Oh man, Doom Generation. Okay. You ever see that movie?
No.
It's like a really old movie with Rose McGowan.
Oh okay.
And like it's very twisted and very awkward, but it's like a love story.
Mm-hmm.
At the root, it's mm-hmm. a love story.
Right.
And that's kind of what.
They made
Deadpool was,
made
yeah.
Deadpool, yeah.
But yeah, I kind of agree, like, because even, like, Guardians was kind of like a prison break movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like the Italian Job, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, it was like that, or like yeah. a redemption movie, or like a whatever, yeah.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, so that reminds me, there's a Deadpool trailer in front of Logan.
Right.
That's much better on the website
mm-hmm.
because it has a cameo.
Yes.
And
I've
it's
seen
hilarious.
Both of them. Yes, there.
Did you see the pseudo Easter eggs everybody's talking about in there though? Did you watch it on a big enough screen?
No.
Okay, so on the telephone booth, it says Nathan Summers is coming. with a U. And then when he jumps out, the window behind him is filled with Firefly posters. So
really?
So now like now it's generating rumors of Nathan Fillion becoming
Cable.
Mm. And I was like, I can see him as Cable. He's got the build. He's got the look.
Yeah, he's
he could totally be him. Yeah,
he could pull off the deadpan like shut up Wade. You know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he could.
Yeah.
So other than that, Powerless. Have you watched Powerless yet?
No, I kind of want to. It's I've heard that it's.
It's
decent.
Pretty funny. It's like this section of Wayne Tech that is just research and development of things like that Wayne Tech's gonna make. Like the first episode, they figure out a way to like track the scent of a villain, so that cops could find them and they know when attacks are gonna come. Mm-hmm. So by the end of the episode, it like saves them from being shut down, and Bruce Wayne like backs them, and because Bruce Wayne's cousin runs the company, and
played like, by the brilliant Alan Tudyk,
right? And then it's like Batman thwarts the Joker by using this new technology that let him sniff out where the Joker fish are going to be, or something, or the laughing gas will be, or whatever. And they were like, interesting that Batman would totally have the same kind of tech that we just gave Bruce Wayne. How about that?
Nice.
One of the last episodes was awesome though. They did like they kept talking about having a superhero league, like almost like a fantasy football league, like a fantasy league. And there was the episode they dropped the most superhero names. Like they dropped Superman, Flash, Green Lantern, Sinestro, I think the Atom, and the Crimson Fox, which is like one of the ones that's in Fawcett City,
right?
Or whatever, Charm City okay. is the name of it. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like it's really funny.
Yeah, I do kind of want to.
And it's only a half hour.
Yeah.
And it's like just these like regular dudes,
right? Dealing with the fallout from villain attacks and superhero battles.
Right. And the one guy from Community's in it.
Yeah.
And oh man, is he funny?
Vanessa Hudgens is.
Oh yeah, she's the lead.
Right.
Yeah. So. Anything else we need to talk about?
I'm trying to think. I'm not.
It's been a while.
I'm sure there probably is, but
yeah. Well, whatever. Yeah. I guess we're done.
I think that was for being like 6 months out. I think that's probably a decent start.
Oh yeah. If you don't listen to Comic Book Pit, I did an interview with them for Three Rivers Comic Con this week. It's episode 463, I believe.
Oh wow.
So check that out. Me and Dan Greenwald got to hang out and just talk about the con. We went a little more in depth than what we talked about today. So check it out. He asked a lot of good questions and I tried to answer as best as I could.
Which means the translations he threw you for some loops, huh?
Only one kind of caught me off guard, but I listened to it this morning. I was like, all right, cool. I did not come off sounding like an ass. We're good. So that's always my biggest fear.
Right.
I guess we could talk about like the future of Marvel, I guess. Like everybody's talking about this reboot thing they're doing at the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
So from the mouth of Marvel, it is not a reboot.
Okay.
It is, from what I understand, it's going
to
be...
It's a back-to-basics.
It's a back-to-basics type thing. It's going to be like more focused on stories. There's not going to be as many crossovers. They're going to... The other part of the rumor is that they're going to trim their line down, so there's not going to be as many titles, which is great because they have, like... You don't need 6 Deadpool titles. I'm sorry.
Right, seriously.
you also... why slapstick?
Right.
Why?
Oh my God. Yes.
Why? Why Solo?
Why Fool Killer?
Fool Killer, yeah. But it looks very much so like they are getting on board with that. And a lot of the cool parts about Comics Pro was I've been to like cons before, I've been to retailer summits. This was different. It felt really good to be at because it was really the guys in the business that felt that you wanted to be there.
Okay.
Like every publisher was like, we got your back. We're doing it. What do you need us to do to sell books? What do you need us to do to, you know, succeed?
Get people in the door, yeah.
And it's awesome. There's some really cool stuff that I'm not allowed to talk about. That's rolling out. Some stuff I was surprised to see, some stuff I'm already seeing. So very cool to see that. I'm really excited to be part of Comics Pro. Mm-hmm. Todd's been part of it for years, but this is my first meeting. Mm-hmm. It was also kind of cool because, like, at one point, I'm just like sitting there talking to Matt Kent for like an hour.
Yeah.
And like the dude's a super chill dude. Mm-hmm. But it was great to see like the Marvel guys, the DC guys, the Valiant guys. Jim Lee was there, Dan DiDio, and some of the other publishers. And they're like, It was cool to like hear the other publishers talk just as much about like getting quality stuff into the stores for people to buy. Mm-hmm. And there's some like retailer aspects of like ordering that everybody right. complained about that we're trying to fix out. And yeah. like it was cool. Like it was like a very large focus group, mm-hmm. and it was cool. And I got to meet a lot of cool retailers that some of them I had only ever like Facebook messaged.
Right.
But it was cool to like see them like hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And there's a picture of me on my Facebook page. If you can find it, I think I put it on my Facebook page. John Dudas from Carol and John's in Cleveland won this awesome Taskmaster shield at,
oh, I've never seen that.
He won it at the charity auction for the CBLDF, mm-hmm. and it was cool. And I got to take a picture of it, and it's huge, mm-hmm. and it's a little heavier than you think it is, but it is awesome. And it's like actually pretty durable. And I'm pretty sure he just said he's just going to put it in the shop. So if anyone's up there and you want to take a picture with this thing, it's great. So,
but speaking of like the way you were saying that with like the future of Marvel, I've read a couple articles recently that speak to that because mm-hmm. it's like, the way they're seeing it, like, well, what they're projecting, like the image they're saying, is that Marvel is realizing that, not that they've certainly not been gritty or dark, but they've taken a more somber tone with their books recently, last few years, in terms of like, it's, if you look at all the major events, they're always hero versus hero. Yeah. Civil War II, X-Men versus Inhumans, mm-hmm. Avengers versus X-Men. It's all about them infighting.
Yeah.
And they're realizing now that it's like it's been getting too bogged down and a little too, not dark, but just a little too not as what it was. Mm-hmm. And to what you were saying is that they're trying to get back to basics in that, and that's what supposedly, and I'm still not happy about it, but Secret Empire is supposed to be the initial shift of that because right. They're going to put it back to clear-cut villain, here's the heroes, they're fighting the villain, that's that.
Right.
And it's like, just Cap's going to be the villain and like Hydra, but it's like, it's going to make all the heroes, or not all of them, but heroes question their loyalties, question why they choose to be heroes, in the sense that it's probably going to re-strengthen everyone's like vow and to like, be a hero.
And realign them to be the heroes they're supposed to be.
Right.
And against the people that they're supposed to be.
Right. And then eventually, and they're trying to like, because automatically, and then all other stuff has mentioned how due to sales, like not being what they want, that they're going to start chopping the block to get rid of, like, because over the last, I don't even know how long really, but probably like 5 or more years, they've been doing the real big push on diversifying mm-hmm. their roster, which is fantastic.
Oh, I didn't think it's been that long, but yeah. Okay, well, I'd say maybe like 3 years.
Miles Morales has been around for quite a while.
He's been around for a long time, but like, and so it's like Lady Thor, yeah, like all those guys, that's like within the last 3 years. There's been a lot of that in the last 3 years.
Right. So that's what the rumors is, that they're going to reset. Like, Thor will get the hammer back and it'll be Thor. Cap will be, like, it was not going to be, like, no more of the change-outs and stuff. So it's like they're bringing Wolverine back in Resurrection. You know, so it's like all these things. It's like,
oh, yeah, they're also doing a giant X-Men push.
Yeah.
But it's like, that'd be cool.
Characters that were popular will stay, hopefully. So I'm really hoping for, like, you know, Ms. Marvel and, you know, Miles and, like, you know, X-23 to stick around. Mm-hmm. But it's like they're going to bring back the originals again. It's going to be your core. It's going to be Iron Man. No more Riri, probably. And, like, you know what I mean?
Actually, from what I understand, they're going to have, it's going to be a universe where both exist.
Okay.
So, like, you will have Wolverine and X-23 both being a Wolverine. You will have...
See, that's too confusing.
You will have Odin's son Thor and Jane Foster being Lady Thor at the same time.
Okay.
The weird part is, so they like, and you can Google search this because I saw it. It's an Alex Ross painting that says Generations.
Yeah.
So the craziest part is there are two Carol Danvers on this. There is a Captain Marvel Captain Marvel, which would be awesome if he somehow came back for like the third time. right, and I've not just for three issues.
Yeah.
And then her as Captain Marvel, and then her as Miss Marvel, and then Marvel. Yeah, Kamala as Miss Marvel. So I was like, how does that work?
Yeah.
But like Hulk's coming back, like Bruce Banner Hulk.
Right, of course.
And Tony as Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. And Riri is on. Yeah.
Yep. And like Steve is Cap, mm-hmm. but like
Falcon is also.
But like Cap more Cap. Like the older like more chainmaily looking
right.
Cap, mm-hmm. and then Falcon is Cap still, mm-hmm. and
Spider-Man.
Oh yeah. The two Spider-Mans, and there was another one on there I think.
I know. Yeah, because I remember seeing that because it was like the day that teaser dropped.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's one more on there, but I can't think of what it is, and it's like. Like, it's cool. Like, you and I have talked about this before. Like, diversity's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Not downplaying that.
Right.
But it's almost like they realized that they alienated all these people that dumped so much of their lives into these characters.
Absolutely.
That they, like, those guys, they want those guys back because a lot of those guys just said no. Mm-hmm. And they just stopped.
Yeah.
Without giving it a try, which is bad on them.
Yeah, that's not
good to do it.
But
But if they at least gave it a try, that's good. But if they gave it a try and they were like, this isn't good, then whatever. Yeah. Like, that's totally
then
legit.
Then it becomes just opinion and that's fair.
Right. That's
just,
fair. Yeah.
If you're just like,
just don't be a jerk.
Female, yeah, female Thor, I'm not going to read that.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, well, then that's just being put pig at it.
Exactly. Like, don't be a jerk about it.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see how they do it, but they're trying to really... The idea is that they're trying to really unify all their writing teams, mm-hmm. and get everybody on the same page and get it really into quality over quantity. Like the fact that they're cutting lines is huge.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty excited to see where they go with it. Oh, the Hawkeyes. That's it.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's Clint and Kate.
Yeah.
Which. Exist right now, but
well, that's the thing. Half of them do exist right now,
right?
Anyway,
but it's like Clint with like armor on, like the purple helmet armor, not just like the t-shirt and jeans that he did in the Fraction run, which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. But it's like an actual thing. But we'll see. I'm curious how the X-Men Resurrection stuff works because it's X-Men and Inhumans. They're pushing together,
mm-hmm.
Which brings me to my very last point, and it's very, very short.
Okay.
Did you see the preview pictures of the set of the Inhumans TV show?
The set, no.
Okay, there are like four or five pictures from the set, and the thing that makes me the most excited mm-hmm. is there is a giant green screen Lockjaw. Nice. And I'm not even kidding. He's like 4 feet tall,
mm-hmm.
and he is massive, and he's just this giant puppy.
Oh, that is
fantastic.
And he's
green. He's bright green because they're going to CGI him.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I want that. Like, you see Black Bolt standing beside him, and he's like to scale what you would think he would be in real life from the comic books. And I'm just like, I want that. I want that so bad right now. Like, I showed my wife, and she was like, that's a big puppy. And I'm like, right? That's what I'm saying. Like, it was the most excited she's ever got about anything nerdy ever, that's except for fantastic. Big Bang Theory, which is sad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Very much, but that's all right.
All right. So we're done. We're done for now. So we're going to try to get back to at least a bi-weekly schedule, guys. But no promises.
Yeah, don't quote us.
And we'll see how it goes. We'll get there. Mm-hmm. So, but thanks a lot.
Bye, guys.